The Public News Service NOAA Newscast, December the 19th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. As the U.S. Supreme Court decides whether the abortion pill is safe, some legal scholars predict the decision may backfire on anti-abortion advocates.
The case paving the way for the nation's highest court to get involved does not focus on abortion access, but rather the Food and Drug Administration's process to approve drugs. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit ruled last summer that mifepristone can stay on shelves where it is legal. However, the appeals court decided FDA changes making easier access to the drug failed to follow proper procedure. Indiana University Professor of Law Jody Madeira isn't surprised the high court picked up the case and predicts it might not have the result anti-abortion proponents expect.
And I do think that it might end up in a surprising way protecting abortion rights. The Supreme Court has been sort of on a trend where it's been narrowing agency rights. But here, the right that the FDA has is to judge whether mifepristone is safe.
Madeira says if courts start deciding drug safety, then what becomes the incentive for pharmaceutical companies to develop new drugs and treatments? A final decision on mifepristone use is expected by the end of June. I'm Joe Ullery reporting.
Both drug companies and the FDA say that mifepristone is safe and has lower risk than common drugs, including Tylenol and Viagra. Now from Reuters, the Vatican said Monday in a landmark ruling approved by Pope Francis, Roman Catholic priests can administer blessings to same-sex couples as long as they're not part of a regular church ritual or liturgy. And a New Mexico report shows a guaranteed cash assistance program designed for immigrants improved work and school outcomes and allowed participants to pursue better jobs.
Like other nationwide studies, the report concluded that a guaranteed basic income also helped boost employment rates and housing security among immigrants. Nichelle Gilbert leads the group Partnership for Community Action and says the 18-month pilot program began in March 2020 to help immigrant families during the pandemic who were ineligible for federal stimulus relief money.
Many families were unable to access federal stimulus rebates, unemployment benefits, or paid sick leave due to their immigration status, harming the long-term health and economic outcomes for families.
The state's pilot program included 330 mixed immigration status households in both rural and urban communities. I'm Roz Brown.
Families taking part in the pilot said they also noticed a change in their children, with 9% of families saying their child was now on track to complete their grade level and graduate. This is Public News Service. Pascal Chicoré Charpentier was born on an army base in Germany. He called New York City home for 3 decades, but he might not be able to stay much longer. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is trying to deport him for being a Haitian immigrant, despite having never been to Haiti.
ICE agents arrested Chicoré in 2020 and held him without bail in a New Jersey detention center, although he's since been released. Prosecutors claim a felony charge from his youth, for which he served prison time, warrants his deportation. He's presented evidence proving his naturalized status, but prosecutors are dismissing it. For now, he's forced to wear an ankle monitor that's become a barrier in his life.
The types of engagements I have on a professional level, that can be, for one, quite disruptive, because when the unit needs to be charged, it just makes an announcement. So it beeps several times. There's an announcement that the battery needs to be charged.
He's asked for a downgrade to a less obtrusive option, although his requests have gone unanswered. One of his attorneys, Jessica Rofe, says it's uncertain how much information could satisfy ICE. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Now to Wisconsin, where public universities now face hard limits on diversity and inclusion, following a controversial budget agreement tied to the legislature.
Last week, the Board of Regents approved a deal pushed by Republican lawmakers to freeze DEI hiring so that schools could receive state funding for staff raises and campus construction projects. Jesse Segarra of the Wisconsin-based group Leaders Igniting Transformation sees the outcome as a dangerous precedent. She hopes student groups will be motivated to push back.
Student government associations in Wisconsin hold a great power and privilege to speak on behalf of the students.
Republican legislative leaders contend DEI programs are divisive. Their arguments come amid growing cultural debates at colleges and universities across the U.S. I'm Mike Moen.
Finally, from our Danielle Smith, biomass and wood pellets, often touted as renewable or clean energy alternatives to fossil fuels, may be far more costly to public health and air pollution.
Mississippi is home to 4 wood pellet mills, and they produce more than 2 million tons of pellets per year. Edie Juno with the National Wildlife Federation says bioenergy contributes around 3 to 17% of total emissions from electric generation.
Actually, compared to fossil fuel emissions, on average, the emissions from the bioenergy facilities were up to about 3 times higher for the same unit of energy generated.
Juno says policymakers can use this report to better consider the carbon implications of energy sources.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.